Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter number 2. And I apologize again for my voice. I hope it'll be where you can stand it for a few minutes. And I'll share some things with you. Something very, very simple this morning. That's about all I ever preach is very simple. My heart, I tell you, I got so blessed. Little things bless me so much in the Word of God. And on the other night, I think it was Christmas night, when Brother Craig played a solo on his mandolin, just played it, no vocal, just the instrumental. And he was talking about what it might have been like to be there at the manger. And boy, it got big in my heart about that. And it's Christmas, not really over. It's getting wound down, but it's not really over. But I'll share this with you this morning as God spoke to my heart about that. And the more I pondered it, babies are special. I have a very special baby back here in the back right now that my Harold's holding. And if all this 200 or 300 people in here, but when they walk in here with a little bitty baby, you can watch people just gravitate toward that little baby. They're drawn to that baby to look at that baby and see that baby. But can you imagine what it would have been like for those shepherds to walk into that stable, into the very presence of God incarnate in human flesh? I am convinced there was a spirit about that place. I've been in places and been around when somebody walks in and they had such a presence of God on them that affected everybody in that place. People could just sense God when they came in because of the Holy Ghost of God resident in their life. I've heard singers sing, and I was blessed by the music and by their ability, but more by the anointing of the Holy Ghost on them. I could feel the power of God. I've heard preachers preach, and I knew they had God on them, and it was ministering to my heart, and I knew it wasn't a man. It was God speaking to me. And when we walked, when the Lord was born and those shepherds walked in that place, he was God in human flesh. He was not one second, not one minute weight less of God in human flesh than he was God in glory. They walked into the very presence of God. When Moses went up on that mountain and met God up there, he came back down. He had to put a veil over his front face because of the glory of God that was on top of that mountain. And when he came there, that his just being in the very presence of God has so affected his facial features and the glow of his face, he had to put a veil over his face to talk with the people. And that was God in a human body laying there. What a special night. It's an awesome thing. Awesome thing. I want to read to you this little account again in Luke chapter number 2. In Luke chapter number 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And certainly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them, the heavens into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you, Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, for touching. I pray, God, you'd help me to have clearness of thought, clearness of speech. I pray, God, that nothing would hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God today in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, here in the building and in the radio audience and in the internet audience. And Father, I pray now the sweet Spirit of God would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And I pray, oh God, that God, that you'd get glory. Our Father, I pray for your anointing and your touch, and speak to me and through me this morning. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What an awesome experience. I don't know if you walked in here in this building when the lights are turned down and the lights on that manger scene. That's awesome. It's awesome. That's a depiction. Matter of fact, I do know this. I know that in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord said to Israel they were not to make any kind of graven images like unto him, or even paint any pictures of him. And so likeness, he said, you remember you didn't see any form. But when Jesus was born, he came in the form of a man, in the fashion as a man, came to live and to die. And they looked on him, and John wrote, he said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. When they asked, who do you think I am? When Jesus said, who do you think I am? They said, well, some say you're Elias, one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The facial features of Christ didn't reveal him as God. He had a human body. But my dear friend, it was that Spirit of God that sent him. The Holy Ghost was God given to him without measure. And if anybody ever knew it was the Christ, they had to know it through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And these shepherds come responding to the message of the angel. And they had no doubt. I don't know how many mangers there were in and around Jerusalem, or Bethlehem rather. I don't know how many stalls there would have been. I'm not sure exactly how they happened to find it, other than this, that the Holy Ghost of God led them to Jesus. And when they found him, they had no question in their mind, this is him. I thought it interesting as I read this passage of scripture over again this week. Notice in verse 17, and when they'd seen it, they had said earlier, we're going to go see this thing which has come to pass. And they saw it. They saw it. And it said this, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They didn't leave the manger talking about Mary. They didn't leave the manger talking about Joseph. They didn't leave the manger talking about the cattle or the surroundings. They didn't even leave that manger talking about the angels. They left the manger talking about him. Talking about him. The things concerning him and magnified him. But Craig, I don't know if it was a song he heard or something he read, but he was saying something about Jesus could have talked. Wonder what he'd have said. But you know, I got to thinking about it. He did say a whole lot in that manger. I don't think he spoke audibly, but Jesus had a lot to say in that manger. Holding your place here in Luke, will you turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 1? In Hebrews chapter 1, I want to read a verse or two. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice it says in verse 2. Well, let me read verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He said in this passage of Scripture that God spoke through his Son to us. And what did Christ say in that manger? When these shepherds walked in and they left, the Bible said, and they talked, and when they seen, they left and they talked about things concerning the child. What did he say to them? What was that experience like? And what did Christ say without vocalizing a word in that manger? Number one, he said, the word of God is true. The word of God is true. Those shepherds no doubt understood the word of God. They knew the word of God. They had been familiar with the prophecies of old. The very first prophecy about the coming of this baby was not 6 weeks before, not 6 months before, but 4,000 years before. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, he prophesied the coming of the seed of the woman. And that birth announcement, 4,000 years past, was now fulfilled the Word of God's true. You can take it to the bank. You can trust the Word of God. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But whatever God says is going to come to pass. I promise you that. He was the seed of the woman. He was the line of Abraham. He was the tribe of Judah. He fulfilled all those prophecies. He was the house of David. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Isaiah 7 says he was born of a virgin. And they look at the baby and they see the virgin and they know the word of God is true. He's going to be born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, not in the capital, but in lowly Bethlehem. And there he lays. The word of God's true. God kept his word. He was born of a virgin, born of the house of David, born of the tribe of Judah, of the line of Abraham, the seed of a woman, born in Bethlehem. And then the Bible says in Psalm 72 and verse 10 that there would be wise men to come and they would bring him gifts of gold and silver and incense. That's in Psalm 72. And in Matthew, we find that to be true. He fulfilled those prophecies. The word of God is true. He did all those things. And thank the Lord for that. All the prophecies, the word of God's true. You can trust the Bible. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. Not one thing in this Bible is false or error. You can trust the word of God. And of all the several prophecies that were filled about his first coming, there are three times as many prophecies about his second coming. And I promise you, he is coming again. He's coming again. The word of God's true. That baby laying there said God kept his word. He's a testimony of the promise of God and the testimony and the prophecies of this child. Number two, the second thing I thought that Jesus said, and that was this, God loves you. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God loves you. When you look at that baby, it speaks of God's love to us. He gave us that baby. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Jesus Christ was born a child. He's born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was a child, a human, but he was a son given. He was a son before he was ever given. He was the Son of God. And in that day, this child and the Son of God are one, a body fashioned for him. And there he lays, and he's a testimony of God's love. God sent his only Son. He left the splendors of glory before the world was ever fashioned. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lived in wonderful bliss and joy. The Bible says that the Son was daily the Father's delight, but he sent his Son. And what an expression of love. There's no greater expression of love than God giving his Son. And when they walked in and saw that baby, I'm telling you right now, they sensed and felt and saw the love of God in human flesh. Second thing, a third thing is this. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, turn back and look at it. Mary, as she is talking, and as the angels approached her, and she's talking. Now, it says in verse 37, she's raised the question in regard to all of these things. But it says in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The third thing that Jesus said in that manger was this, nothing is impossible. There he lays, born of a virgin, Mary having never known a man, God conceived by the Holy Ghost. Nothing is impossible. If God can do that, he can do anything. He can meet needs. He can do anything. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. He's able. Nothing is impossible with him. And Jesus' very presence in this world is a testimony, and at that manger, that nothing is impossible. God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we're able to ask or think. Thank God for that. He's able. Nothing is impossible with God. The fourth thing I'd say to you this morning, having looked at that baby in that manger, they say this, the word of God is true. Number two, God must love us so much to give us his son. Number three, nothing is impossible. If God can do this, he can do anything. But number four, I cannot save myself. It's absolutely essential that he come. Why would he step out of the splendor of heaven? Why would he take on human flesh? It's one thing to be nurtured by a woman, to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and held close to her bosom. But it's a far greater thing to know in the omniscience of God, the all-knowing of God, that this little baby is destined to be destroyed. Jesus said, you destroy this temple. That word destroyed means to be mutilated or to be dismantled. That little innocent baby's body in 33 years will be completely destroyed. The flesh shall be ripped from his rib cage and from his back. They'll put spikes through his hands and through his feet. They'll put a crown of thorns upon his brow. They'll pierce his side with a sword. His body is destined to be broken for us. On the night before he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. It means to be without any repair. It means whatever they did to his human body could not have been repaired by human beings. But a great miracle occurred on the resurrection. God gave him a brand new body. And we'll have a body like in his glorious body. And Jesus Christ in that manger, without saying a word, said this, you can't save yourself. If we could have saved ourselves, he'd not done that. He would not have come. If you could do good deeds and go to heaven, he wouldn't have come. If you could be baptized and go to heaven, he wouldn't have come. The only way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And what he says in that manger without saying a word is this, you couldn't do it yourself. I had to come. It was absolutely imperative that I come and give my life a ransom. And thank God for that. Thank God that he came. One last thing, and I'm through. What's that baby saying in that manger? He said the word of God is true without saying a word. He said God loves you without saying a word. He said nothing is impossible without saying a word. He said you can't save yourself without saying a word. But he said this without saying a word. You can have all that God's got. You can have all that God's got. That's heaven's best. That's heaven's best. And that little baby in there says, you can have everything God's got. How many of you have got a child? You got a baby. You got maybe a teenager now. How many of you take anything in the world for them? I mean, if somebody came in your house and said, I want that baby. No, you can't have my baby. You take all of our appliances, take all of our electronics, take all of our money, take everything, take all my guns, take my car, take my freedom, take everything. But let me have my baby. I'd give everything for my baby, for my children. But if somebody gave you their child, if God gave his son, what else is he saying? He's saying you can have everything God's got. The Bible says it. Said this. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things by him? What a blessing. Several years ago, and I think I've shared it. Many of you may remember it. Pardon me, please. I'm sorry. There was an auction of an extremely rich man. He died. He'd had a faithful butler servant who took care of him over all the years. He had great wealth amassed. And there was never a portrait made of him except for one. And it wasn't really a very flattering portrait. It wasn't really good. But it always hung in his study of the rich man. At the time of his death, they were going to auction off all of his great treasures. People came from around the world. And the will had stipulated that everything would be sold. They began with that one painting of the man who had died. Nobody was interested in it. And that portrait of the man who died, except for the butler. He had such fond memories of his master and had loved him so many years. When the auctioneer began to bid, nobody said a thing, but he said, "I'll bid." And so he bidded $10. And the auctioneer said, "Surely it's worth more than 10, worth more than 10, worth more than 10. Nobody else would bid. But the butler said, "I bidded 10 because that's all I have today. But I really want it." He said, "Sold for $10. And the man went and got the picture of the master and walked away weeping, carrying the picture of his master. The auctioneer said, "Wait just a moment." And he pulled the will from his vest coat and he read the will. And he said, "The first item to be sold in my auction is a picture of me. And whoever gets me gets everything I've got." He said, "Sir, you have inherited all of your master's inheritance." And can I say to you, what that baby said is this: if you'll get him, you get all that God's got. I want you to bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed. What a wonderful time of the year for families and friends, and to remember what he did for us and what the baby, the Christ, the Savior, in that manger says without saying a word. The word of God is true. It may have been prophesied 4,000 years before, but it will come to pass. The word of God is true. Said he would be born in Bethlehem in the book of Micah. He was born in Bethlehem. Isaiah said he'd be born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin. And so many other prophecies. You can trust the Bible. It says to me, that babe in a manger, God loves me. It says to me that I can't save myself. It says to me that if I've got him, I can have all that God's got. I wonder, on this last Sunday of this 2013, while we stand together, if you would like to come. We can't get all around that manger, but maybe we could get somewhere close by. Some could come and kneel, and some could just stand. If you'd like to do that, we're not worshiping the people, not worshiping those statues, but we're remembering what he said in that manger and just thank him on this last Sunday for what he did for you. If you're here today and you've never trusted him as Savior, our dear friends that we honored a few moments ago in heaven now, they don't suffer any kind of sickness or problems or illness. They are 100% whole and well. I can't hardly wait to see JB and my little girl who's there and other loved ones who are there. But if you're not saved, there's no promise you'll ever see your loved ones that are in heaven again. If you're not saved today, would you call on him? Would you receive him? Dear Lord Jesus, I ask God the Holy Ghost right now to speak to hearts. God, I want to thank you for letting me be here. I pray, our Father, that the Holy Ghost of God has worked and spoke to hearts in spite of my voice. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, Lord, don't let anybody leave here lost. Lord, it's the last Sunday of this year. But it could be the last opportunity. Somebody has to get saved. And Lord, save them right now. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, there's a simple act of faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. if you would do that right now, acknowledging you're a sinner and that he died to save you, would you receive him? He'll come in your heart. He'll forgive your sin. If that's your desire this morning to be saved, will you pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I don't understand, Lord, how it all works. But by faith this morning, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I believe he died for my sin, was buried, and rose again. Lord, you're alive now. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin and save me for Jesus' sake. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me. While we have our heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're in the building this morning and you say, Brother Billy, I prayed that prayer, boys or girls, men and women, and I meant it from the depths of my heart, would you raise your hand across the building and say, Preacher, I prayed that prayer just now, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. God bless you, my friend. God bless you. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and bless your name tonight, today. Thank you for the babe of Bethlehem's manger, who is the Savior, the Lord, the Christ, who would grow, who would mature, who would develop as a human, Lord, who would give his life a ransom. Thank you that there was no guile in him, no sin. And that when he died on the cross, he bore all of our sins in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again. Thank you that he's alive now. And God, help us as never before as we go into 2014 to tell the story and get the gospel message to more people than we ever have. And God, will thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.